Commodore Hour is on the air. Over the next hour, we'll discuss the latest around Vanderbilt athletics and hear from players, coaches, and administrators. Commodore Hour is brought to you by Gupton Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Springfield, Ascend Federal Credit Union, the exclusive credit union of Vanderbilt Athletics, and by the Middle Tennessee Ford Dealers, built Ford Tough. Now, here are your hosts, Andrew Allegretta and Kevin Ingram.
Well, good evening and welcome to the Commodore Hour on the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield. Andrew Allegretta here with Kevin Ingram. Coming up on tonight's show, Coach Clark Lee joins us at 6:30. In just a couple of minutes, we talk with football general manager Barton Simmons. It is exactly 1 month to the day that signing day hits for Vanderbilt football. Plus, we'll preview the Ole Miss game with our keys to the game. But, Kevin, first let's start with Kentucky. A difficult loss for sure, but we saw a lot of grittiness, specifically in that second half. Back-to-back touchdown drives. You had Chris Pierce getting a touchdown score. You had Abdul Rahman coming up with a touchdown reception as well. So we saw some grit and some fight from that Vandy team in the second half there.
Yeah, sure did, Andrew. You know, the game kind of got away in that second quarter. It felt like everything that could go wrong did go wrong, whether it was a pick six or a punt that was out of bounds and short and shank punt, and they got short field from that. But in the third and fourth quarter, it felt like Vanderbilt after halftime did some really nice things. You mentioned Amir Abdul Rahman. It was cool to see him have that kind of game because we haven't really seen much of him at all this season, but 7 catches for 65 and a touchdown. He was a factor from the very start of the game. Also, Chris Pierce, one of the rare players in college football to have both a touchdown reception and an interception in the same game. They threw the Hail Mary in the end zone. He intercepted it on the final play of the first half. A pick is a pick.
Yes,
but,
it is.
But Chris had 6 catches for 69. So really nice performances out of both those guys. We saw Ken Seals come back. He played the first half, a little banged up. Mike Wright came in, and I thought played well in the second half. 7 for 11 for 58 and a couple of touchdowns.
I think it was nice to see the seniors be successful on Senior Day, specifically the two that we just saw. But in general, I think it was a really nice night recognizing 30 different seniors, and a handful of them showed up to play, which was wonderful for those guys. If people missed it, I thought the anchor drop was a really nice moment as well. Tommy Smith, who is an active military member as we speak, did the anchor drop, and he was surprised by his brother who got to do the anchor drop with them. So considering the significance of the week, that was wonderfully symbolic for just about everybody there.
Yeah, no doubt. With Veterans Day a couple days earlier, to see Tommy Smith out there with his brother, that was really neat. And to me, he's one of the neatest stories in college football. A guy who was a walk-on at Notre Dame a few years back. He served three tours in the military, and now decided, you know what, I love the camaraderie of football. It reminds me of being in the military. And he has a wife and a family, and he's like 32 years old,
something like that,
playing college football. It's remarkable that he's able to do all that, but it just shows you what, you know, people that serve in our armed forces, all the things that they are capable of, and he's a really impressive guy.
All right, couple of other notes. Before we get to basketball, quickly with Vandy United, that was a great day back on Friday. The renderings that they put out, it's nothing. We're not snapping our fingers, and nothing's happening overnight. I think we all recognize that. But where this is going to go is a really, really encouraging and exciting moment for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, was it a coincidence that it was Candace's birthday, or did all that, was that by design? I thought that's a really nice thing to do on Candace's birthday. But
how thoughtful of them
exactly
to announce that on Candace's
right
birthday.
But Candace Lee, our athletics director, announced it all and did a great job narrating the video. It looks really cool. All the renderings of the buildings are going to be on this campus, some of it not too far from where we're sitting as far as new football facilities and indoor facility, and then both in the north and south end zones of Vanderbilt Stadium. On the north end, you'll have the new basketball facility. On the south end, more of the football buildings. And the cool part, it's sort of multi-purpose on both sides because you're going to have new amenities for fans actually inside the stadium on the other side of those buildings. So it's neat to look at. You wish you could snap your fingers because there's a lot of work to be done, both as far as building the stuff and the financial work that it takes to get it done. But it looks really neat, and, boy, looking forward to seeing how all that takes shape in the coming years.
If folks have not seen it yet, go to vucommodores.com. There are all of the details, including the actual renderings, and as Kevin alluded to, the video that Candace Lee did narrate. So there's a lot of great stuff there. Men's basketball off to a 2-0 start, including a victory just yesterday against Texas State. What have been some of the couple of takeaways for you at the top of the season?
Well, kind of two different games. The game last Wednesday against Alabama State, Vanderbilt played a lot of different guys, played really good defense, got 24 turnovers, turned those into 26 points, I believe it was. The game last night, Vanderbilt opened the second half. It was close at halftime. Vanderbilt opened the second half and opened up a lead, led by 16. Texas State trimmed it down to 4. They were playing with a lot of confidence. And then Scottie Pippen Jr. took over the game. He ended up with 30 points, most of them in the second half. Hit 4 out of 8 from 3, 6 of 7 from the foul line. The team made 12 threes. Big one by Trey Thomas. Several guys knocked in key three-pointers. But the starts for Jordan Wright and for Miles Studi, to me, are two things that really stand out. Both have reshaped their bodies in the offseason, and both have come back and played outstanding basketball through the first few games of the year.
And it's worth underscoring, too, that's a pretty darn good Texas State team. Mm-hmm. They won the Sun Belt Conference a season ago. They did lose their conference player of the year off of that roster, but still, that's still a darn good Texas State team. So I don't think it's anything to sniff at that it was a battle for these guys throughout the course of the first half and then into the second half, but then they hit the throttle down, and they did exactly what you would want to do. And again, accolades are not given. They are earned. And Scottie Pippen went out there and just flat out earned all of his accolades just yesterday.
Yeah, he was awesome down the stretch of that game. I mean, it was just one bucket after another. And yeah, Texas State is a good team. I mean, they're a good program. They, as you said, they won the Sun Belt last year in the regular season. And they, you could tell they had some veteran guys who knew how to play. But it's been fun to see some of the new guys for Vanderbilt, too, get in there and play some. And you kind of start to see what they're about. I know we got a couple guys out. And you hope back sooner rather than later. But, you know, to see some of the freshman players and to you know, see a guy like Jermaine Mann have the game he did in the opener, a guy who transferred in from Gardner-Webb, it's going to be fun to see, especially in this non-conference portion of the schedule, which to me is pretty difficult when you look what's ahead. This is a three-game week right here, but, you know, we're going to see this team take shape before we get to the start of conference play in early January.
And the women's basketball team takes on tonight MTSU. So I think they'll tip off throughout the course of our broadcast here tonight. So we'll keep you posted the best that we can. But don't forget that Shea Ralph is off to a 1-1 start with her program, and they take on MTSU tonight down in Murfreesboro. We'll step aside, come back in just a couple of seconds. We'll talk with Barton Simmons again, 1 month to the day that signing day hits for Vanderbilt football. We'll come back in just a couple of seconds and continue our conversation on the Commodore Hour, part of the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield. Welcome back. Andrew Alagretta here alongside Kevin Engerman, joined by the general manager of Vanderbilt football, Barton Simmons. First off, thank you for being here. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me. Always a pleasure.
This close to getting big time, but we're glad to get you in this chair.
You know what? So if I was if I was on the team, I'd be running laps right now for being late. You know, but fortunately, I'm not.
He was on his way to the parking garage, and Michael Sholin got him.
Somebody lassoed him back. So you're 1 month to the day, if I'm not mistaken, December 15th.
Yeah.
To signing day. What's the next month look for you? Let's start big picture. You got 1 month to go until signing day. What's that like for a recruiting office?
Well, it's frenetic. I mean, because ultimately, while we've got a class that we're really excited about, and a bunch of guys that we feel really good about and who we feel are locked in and Commodores for life. You know, we're also at that point where, you know, you're looking for the finishing touches as well. And so it's making sure that our commits are, you know, in a good place and making sure we're finding those last pieces of the class. And then it's planning official visits. We got a couple big weekends coming in December. And of course, you know, getting the plans prepared for signing day as well. But all, you know, all hands on deck, just trying to get here to the finish line. Again, we feel like we're putting together a class that's going to, you know, really alter the trajectory of this place, based on the traits that we'll be bringing into this program and, you know, the type of players that we're going to have a chance to develop. And it's exciting. So we just, at this point, we just can't wait till December 15th.
How did you guys use the bye week from a recruiting standpoint?
Well, you know, we got our coaches on the road. I mean, that was a big, big part of it, was just get, you know, that's an opportunity to get out and see some guys in person. You know, for some of those sort of late senior risers, get an opportunity for coaches to get out and evaluate those guys, to see them in person, see them practice. In some cases, you know, it's maybe you're watching a practice, maybe you're watching a game, and we certainly tried to get as many guys out to games as we could around the country, seeing our commits, and of course, you know, being able to get the head guy out and about a little bit as well. You know, Clark he's a great, obviously, representative of Vanderbilt, and anytime you can get him around coaches and players, you know, that's a good thing.
You talk about coaches going out to evaluate players. When coaches go to high school games, I mean, you already know what these players are about. You've probably seen hours of video of them. You know, how much of it is just simply having Vanderbilt represented at the game as much as anything?
Yeah, well, it depends. I mean, some of these guys we know exactly what they are. And this is much less evaluation and much more just making sure they know how important they are to us.
Yeah.
And making sure that we get in the building and wave the Vandy flag and plant it and protect our territory, so to speak. But, you know, in some cases, look, I mean, you know, June was a big month, obviously, for us, huge month in terms of the ability to evaluate guys in person for the first time in college football in whatever it was, 18 months or whatever it was. But there's only so much work you could do in that month, and
yeah.
There's only so many players that were able to get on campus that you're even able to know about. So look, even now there's guys that are emerging late that we are just so energized about, but you know, we'd like to let's check the box there, get to see them in person, watch them move around, see the body types and all that stuff's a big part of it as well. So there was a little bit of true evals over the week as well. But again, a lot of it, you're right, is truly just getting in the building and just showing that they're priorities to us.
Visiting with Barton Simmons, he is the general manager and director of personnel for Vanderbilt football. We see recruits at our games all the time too. You know, what was the message you're able to get to those guys when you get them on campus with their families and they're actually here?
Well, I think one of the messages is just, anytime that we're able to get them in this building and get them around our staff and our people, that's just so critical, because we really believe like that's something that sets us apart, is just the type of people we have in the building. And I think, you know, like, look, the record is what it is right now. And yet anyone that's actually in this building on a daily basis has so much conviction about what's going to happen to this place, because, you know, we live it, we see it, and we're around each other and around the people that are in here. And so, you know, a lot of it is just allowing those recruits to feel that, feel that energy, to feel that confidence, to feel that conviction about what's coming in this place, and talking to them about all the reasons that we are confident in what's coming. And so I think that's a big part of it, is just, you know, the people in this place we believe are second to none. And so just having an opportunity to feel that energy, feel that authenticity, that's a really important part of what we're doing here. And I think as we continue to bring in, again, like, this is, we've kind of hashtagged it first class.
Yeah.
And this is the first recruiting class that we've recruited, that we've evaluated. And so I think that message is present as well. It's just understanding, look, you know, come to this place and be the reason this place turns around.
More to come with Barton Simmons, Vanderbilt football general manager and director of personnel, in just a moment as we continue with Commodore Hour. This is the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield.
Welcome back. Andrew Alnicredic here with Kevin Engram and the general manager of Vanderbilt football, Barton Simmons. Back on Friday, we've touched on this. Vandy United puts out its red rings for both basketball, Vanderbilt Stadium, the expanded football operations center. Obvious question, impact for you guys in recruiting is?
I mean, it's it's sexy, you know. Like that's, we throw that thing up there, and it's, it looks good now, and all that. That's a big part of recruiting. I mean, the way we look, we've had recruits. We have been there. I mean, I think there may be some Vanderbilt folks out there that may be disgruntled with the fact that there's some 17-year-old kids out there that have seen these renderings a lot earlier than they have. But believe me when I tell you that that has been part of the pitch. And so it was nice to get some of those out there for the world to see. But the message that we have consistently told the players that have been in this building on visits is, look, we already have a weight room. We already have a practice field. We have a stadium. We have grass. You know, we have an indoor. We have everything you need to be successful right now at Vanderbilt. You know, it doesn't really matter how shiny the thing is. You know, we've got what we need to be successful right now. But when you're able to show them those facilities, when you're able to talk about $300 million and a new chancellor and a superstar athletic director and a new head coach, like, then suddenly what you're articulating is and illustrating is not just new facilities, but it really encompasses just the support, and there's a level of support and commitment at this place that I don't think it's had before. And so in some ways, I mean, that's really all these renderings are, is really all this new facility is that's all any of it is. That's all the facilities are anywhere in the country. Like, no one needs a waterfall in the weight room or whatever it is.
Wait a minute.
Nobody needs a slide from, like, whatever, the third floor to the practice field. Like, no one needs that.
What about a lazy river? You gotta have one of those to have a football program.
So all that is, it's just people flexing that they've got that kind of support for their program. So when we have the best facility in college football, then that's going to send a message to recruits. It doesn't matter that when they're here right now, they can get trained at just as high a level as anyone else in college football. But to be able to then walk into this pristine, state-of-the-art, modern facility, it will send a message, and that message will be that Vanderbilt is a place where you have to make no compromises.
I was talking with Coach Corbin earlier today. We just did a video shoot with him for something totally separate, but we had the conversation about the juxtaposition between the flash that you want to put out there to draw them in, while at the same time having the grit once they get here to be successful. It seems like a weird juxtaposition to me, where you're saying one thing, but at the other moment you're asking another. I guess what my question to you is, the guys that you're recruiting, any chance those are guys that the renderings mean a little bit less to?
I hope so.
Than the typical recruit?
I hope so. You guys, you've been in my office. There's a big on my whiteboard in big blue letters says, you get what you sell. And so if that's why we lead with that. Why we have everything we need. We have a weight room, we have grass, we have a stadium, we have everything you need. And so don't come here because you're like excited about the space age, you know, facade of this operations building. You know, come here because of the football. Come here because you believe in this vision. Come here because you want to be held accountable, because that you're tough, because, like, you believe in the way you're going to be developed here. You believe in the way this program is going to be run, and you believe that this program is going to be one that competes for SEC championships. And if you're coming here because if you're coming here because, again, like, that the reason you're coming is the flashy new facilities, you're not the kind of guy that's going to turn this place around. And so that doesn't mean you can't be influenced by those facilities. It doesn't mean you can't be excited about them. That doesn't mean you can't look at them and say, man, that's going to be fun to be a part of that. But I want that to be supplemental to what your real decision is that you walk in this building and you know that Coach Lee has got the track record to develop and build relationships better than anyone else in college football, and that over time, you know, we are going to create something special and unique and do something that's never been done before. Like, those are the things that I want to get people energized about, much more so than these facilities, which are awesome and I am super energized about. But I want that to continue to be, you know, we need tough football guys in this place. football guys, and what we're going to get them.
We started off talking about the December signing period that's coming up a month from now. You know, at that point, is there any way to know how much work will be left for the February signing period? Is that kind of always a work in progress and sort of a moving target?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, I think if we hit this thing perfectly, then we're going to have nothing left to do in February but just, you know, get out and recruit the next class. And yet, you know, the reality is that you just don't know how things are going to finish down the stretch. I think we feel really good about some targets that can really sort of solidify this class and finish things off. But we also acknowledge that this thing could stretch into February for some of these guys. And look, I think the January period too will be in part like, is there going to be some guys that we stumble upon or are able to unearth that it's just, they're just too good not to take. But certainly the timeline is such these days where December is really the finish line,
yeah.
And then February is where you just sort of clean up the rest. And so we're going to work hard to finish that way, you know, we're going to put ourselves in the best position that we can. And we're very optimistic about what's coming, but also, you know, there's still more work to be done.
Still use fax machines for signing day, or is that something that's finally gone?
I think it's pretty much gone at this point. I mean,
it looks like the fax machines one day to shine out of the year. It used to be in February.
This is okay. So I've been a part of one signing day on this side of the table, and I don't think we had a single LOI that day. I think the entire class was signed.
Yeah.
So I don't know that I think generally they all come in. You can just take a picture of it and like text it in these days. But, you know, maybe we'll have a fax machine in the war room just for
It doesn't even have to be hooked up to anything.
Exactly.
It's nostalgia.
It'll make it out of a chocolate fountain. Or something.
There used to be places, I think, that would just stick a camera on the fax machine.
That's
and
right.
Fan bases could just flat out watch the fax machine burn.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What percentages of recruits these days actually wait till February?
Not many. I mean, not many have the leverage to. Now I'm putting on my recruiting analyst hat. I feel like I'm having a flashback.
Having some hot takes. Here we go.
But like that's sort of the way. I mean, there. If you're gonna wait till February and you have opportunities that you want to commit to, like most places are gonna say, well, look, if you're not committed, if you're not signing with us in December, then that means you're like to us that tells us you're not committed, and so. That would certainly be our mentality. If someone that we have consider a commitment doesn't sign with us, look, we may still continue to recruit him to February, but that's screaming loud and clear that what that commitment means in terms of where you stand and where we stand. And so, because of that, you know, there's just certainly there's a lot of guys that, you know, everyone's going to make room for no matter what the situation, and they can wait till February. And then there's some guys that maybe they say, I'm going to get better and I'm going to hold off and my stock's still going to rise, and they wait till February. And so, I mean, there's a lot of scenarios where it still makes sense. But, you know, I think certainly as it relates to us and our class, we have every expectation that the guys that we're recruiting are going to sign in December, and I think they're all excited too. I mean, you know, the guys, especially the guys that we're going to get here early, as early enrollees. I mean, those guys are chomping at the bit to just get in town and get to work. And so, you know, I'm excited to be able to you know, talk about those guys and actually say their names at some point.
I'll get you out of here on this, and I sense that maybe you don't have an answer, maybe you do. I don't know, but since we brought up your old recruiting days, I'll play the role of Chip Patterson in this particular case.
There you go. Yeah.
Now that you're on this side of it, is there anything that you wish was different about recruiting, whether to benefit a staff, whether to benefit a student athlete, just from like a mechanical sense of this date is December 15th and this date is February or whatever it happens to be? Is there a wish out there that you would throw into the ether?
That's a, golly, man. You sort of put me on the spot there.
I mean, I tried to talk as long as
you did.
Possible.
I mean, I know that's the old broadcasting trick. Now I've used that one myself. But no, you know, I mean, look, I think
the answer is no. The answer is no.
There were some. I thought that there were some things that were put into place this off season that were sort of COVID related that I really appreciated from this side of the table. One being on campus evaluations where a player could visit and we could really basically work them out. And that's for us where we're going to be, we're going to pride ourselves on our evaluations, pride ourselves on our developmental success. I mean, that's huge for us to be able to really sort of verify what we, you know, what we believe about a kid. And I think that would be something that I would be excited about to see continue to be a part of the normalcy of recruiting. But I don't know, you know, it's just so funny, like from here, from this side of the table anyways, because I'm in it, all I'm doing is just like I'm accepting the rules for what they are. And I'm just like, hey, like how do we best navigate this? How do we best, you know? And so maybe when I catch my breath in 3 or 4 years, I'll have the, you know, the ability to hindsight, I guess, to look back and figure out what this thing's missing. But for now, man, I'm just staying afloat, keep my head above water.
Barton Simmons, thank you so much for your time.
Of course.
We'll step aside, continue our conversations on the Commodore Hour. Head coach Clark Lee after this on just a second on the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield. Welcome back. Andrew Aldequetic here with Kevin Ingram. In just a couple of seconds, head coach Clark Lee will join the program. A couple of quick notes. We do know the game time for Tennessee now. In 2 weeks, that game will be at 2:45 Central Time and 3:45 Eastern Time. We will jump on the air at 1 Central, 2 Eastern for the folks that are curious. But again, a 2:45 Central Time kickoff for Vanderbilt versus Tennessee. And, of course, next week it's a 6:30 kickoff for Vandy versus Ole Miss. I would give you the opportunity to provide your keys to the game, Kevin, but you won't be there.
But you don't think I can still have some keys of the game? I mean, even though I'm not going to.
No, you're knee deep in Winthrop prep.
Yeah, I'm already doing Winthrop prep. I don't even know if we have a game this week. Stopping Matt Corral would be a big key. Back to you, Andrew.
Yeah. it should be an interesting contest. It obviously, Ole Miss has been a fantastic program throughout the course of the season, and Matt Corral has been one of the better quarterbacks, if not a Heisman Trophy contender this season, and that's just been the life of Vanderbilt throughout the course of the season. You're going to face tremendous quarterbacks like that.
You know, and I was thinking of last year when Ole Miss came here and played. I thought Matt Corral was the most impressive quarterback I saw Vanderbilt face last season, and he's carried that over into this year. And I thought about that going into the year when you started to hear, okay, these guys are Heisman hopefuls and all that stuff, and I was like, don't sleep on Matt Corral because that guy's terrific. But hopefully, Commodores, to me, this is always a wild and interesting game, typically, between Vanderbilt and Ole Miss. They are the permanent cross-division opponents. You know, each team has that one team, and Ole Miss is that team for Vanderbilt. Seen some crazy games over the years, so you never know in this series.
What is the craziest?
There was one a few years back, and it's actually this week in Vanderbilt history where the Commodores came back and won, I think down 16 in the second half in Oxford and won. That was one of the bowl seasons when Coach Franklin was here. Gosh, I've seen several of them over the years, both here and in Oxford. And so, yeah, it just always seems like weird stuff happens a lot of the time when these two teams face off. So maybe more of the same on Saturday for you guys.
I don't think we're stating anything that's a stretch. Vanderbilt is going to have to control the clock in both of these next two games to make sure they can get it to the second half and be competitive. That means that you're going to need some 10-play, 12-play drives that do finish in touchdowns and do take 7 or 8 minutes off the clock. You need Matt Corral on the sideline. You need Hendon Hooker on the sideline because both of these teams have the capability to score touchdowns in one play. We've seen it.
Sure.
Tennessee started the Kentucky game with a one-play 75-yard drive. So whether it's an effective running game, look, these games are going to be challenging. Again, I don't even think Clark would sit here and deny that. They're going to be challenging, but you've got to be able to keep them off the field somehow.
Are you going to the Grove before the game?
I would like to at least see it. I would underscore deeply, I will not partake in the growth.
Oh, come on.
Even in the slightest.
I staked this out a spot. I was down there for baseball back in May, and so the Grove was empty, and it was a nice and pretty day, and so I staked this out a spot, so hopefully it'll still be there.
Are you telling me that if I were to go to the Grove right this second, there would be like a pop-up lawn chair that says K. Engram on it with like stakes in the ground?
Oh, yeah. It should still be there for sure. It's a beautiful, it's a beautiful campus and setting. If you do have a chance to walk over there and check it out, it's one of the great scenes in college football and certainly in tailgating. But I think you'll enjoy your visit down there.
Yeah, looking forward to it. And again, certainly slowing down Matt Corral to the best of their ability has to be a key to the game. He is closing in on Eli Manning type numbers. He's got the chance to get to Eli Manning and pass him in terms of single season yardage numbers. He's got a chance to do that. We'll see if they can do it over the next couple of games. As we speak, here is the man, the myth, and I do say so myself, the legend, head coach Clark Lea jumps on the headset. Coach, thank you so much for joining us. How are you guys doing here on this Monday evening?
We're doing well. We're back at it, which is a good feeling. And, everybody's good.
Excellent. 30,000-foot perspective from the Kentucky game.
We had a sequence there in the second quarter that, it started with, end of the first quarter, they hit a post corner that we didn't quite leverage out the right way and we couldn't get the pressure needed on a longer developing route. I think that's been, a recurring theme that we have to, we have to coach better in terms of the pass rush. That gave way into the start of the second quarter where they hit a scissors route on to score a touchdown to the tight end. And I thought we had a chance to play the ball there and just weren't able to. They made the play, we didn't. And that made it 14-3. And then on the ensuing possession, we ended up getting a first down and then through the naked pick six that made it 21. And then we come back out on offense. We go three and out, and we miss hit a punt. And three runs later, they score. And so there's 21 points there that that really created the distance needed. And unfortunately we're not equipped to overcome that. We came out in the second half and we won 14-3 in the second half and we controlled the game on offense. We had methodical drives where we converted third downs and we finished our drives with touchdowns. That is the formula. Got stops on defense and that we just have to play four quarters of that style and again, our margin for error is so small that hesitation on defense leads to creases that lead to big runs or chunk plays. Self-sabotage on offense and getting behind the chains becomes at times insurmountable. There are positives within that to build on. I did think we were able to distribute the ball a little better in the past game. I felt like we found some of the curl routes and the comeback routes. And we did some things that we found Ben Bresnahan on an option throw that was encouraging. I thought Amir stepped up and had a really nice game. I want him to keep growing and getting better. I thought Mike Wright prepared in a way that allowed him to step in the second half and be, be a force for good. Defensively, I think Max Worship's a guy that stands out. I see here that he was second on the team in tackles, but he really, he flashes on his finishes. He hits the ball square and seems to show up at times when we need him to show up, specifically as a tackler. We can build on the performance on third down, particularly in the second half. We have to get to that earlier. We have to get them to third down, and we have to have a chance to get off the field. So, it's a lot, but that's kind of where we are, and it's all about, taking the learning. I do think this is also about, pulling from the positives in the game to try to fuel the finish here in the last two, but also having a willingness to confront the things that need to shift, need to change, that we continue to deal with, so that we have a chance to win the final two games. I mean, that's the goal.
Talking with head coach Clark Lee. We'll step aside, continue our conversation in just a couple of minutes after this across the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield.
Welcome back to Commodore Hour as we continue from Nashville with Vanderbilt head football coach Clark Lee. Two games to go, including Ole Miss on Saturday night at 6:30 here on the Vanderbilt Sports Network. You mentioned Amir Abdur-Rahman in the first segment, seven catches for 65 and a touchdown. I mean, he was a factor from the start of the game. How did he work his way into getting more opportunities?
We're proud of Amir. He's been resilient. I think he, you know, we spend a lot of time as a program, as a team, talking about the importance of preparation, talking about we don't leave it to chance. You know, we want to see the play made in practice. We want to see guys come out and do the little things the right way in preparation for the game. And, you know, Amir's built those habits over the past 10 months, and I think the last 3 weeks he has absolutely started to shine as a practice player. And it was no surprise to me that he was able to, you know, to make the plays he made in the game with the level of confidence that he made them. Even the one that he dropped in the end zone, I could tell immediately that he was past it, and he, you know, hopped up and flushed it and was ready to make the play when his number was called on the 4th-and-4 slant for the touchdown. And so, you know, he's earned that through practice. And, you know, I think also with, you know, with Will Shepard having gotten sick and missed a couple of days there, you know, the timing was right for him to step into a role, and he was ready. And so we celebrate that, proud of Amir for that, and excited for him to continue to prepare that way so that he can make more plays for us.
Anything on Davion Davis? Went out with the injury, and I don't think anybody was shocked that he came out on crutches on the sideline to support his teammates.
Davion's going to be out, and we're, you know, obviously upset. We hurt for him, but you know, it's an opportunity for him to continue to build into this program that, you know, he loves and cares about and has been such a force for good for us. He can continue to do that in a new role and work his way back to health. But it was a disappointing moment, and one that was tough for me as the head coach to see him on the field laid out. And like you said, no surprise that he was back out there to support and be a part of. But we're going to miss him. But I'm excited for him to start the road back to recovery, and I'm excited for him to help continue to build this program forward.
A couple of items just outside of the playing field in terms of the game against Kentucky. First off, senior day. Your thoughts on making sure that those guys got recognized, and the fact that a Chris Pierce, when he gets recognized, shows up. Someone like Abdur-Rahman gets recognized, that he shows up. You had the nice kind of touch of a couple of these guys having their moment and then having their moment on the field as well.
Yeah, those guys mean a lot to us. As an alum of the program and, you know, a former player, their perseverance, the nature in which they represent our university, their first-class guys, their continued willingness to step into the fire for this program and to compete, you know, is something that needs to be recognized. As their head coach, their willingness to step into change, to reimagine what this could be. And, you know, that's a process. We're still working through that, but, these guys were some of the most important to get to at least dip their toe in the water early, and they did. And I think they've all experienced change within the program for good. And they deserve recognition for that. What I wanted was to send them out in their final home game as winners, and we weren't able to do that. And so I'm frustrated and disappointed that, we were kept from doing that. But I can't say enough about these guys, their their impact here, how much respect I have for them, and how excited I am for their futures. And some of them will be back too. I mean, it's not, you know, we're gonna turn over a good number of players on our roster. That's natural and healthy, but I got a feeling some of those guys haven't played their last snap in Vanderbilt Stadium.
And then secondly, I know you guys have been working on this for a long time, and it's not new. The Vandy United stuff, you guys have been working through the renderings and all of that sort of stuff, but this is our first chance to sit here and talk with you since the renderings have come out. From a program perspective, what does it mean to you? What has the response been for you as you talk to members in the community now that this is public? What sort of support are you feeling around the community now that it's out there?
Well, I think the releasing of the renderings was important. I think there are a lot of people that are waiting to see what this actually is. And rather than Vandy United as a concept, like, you know, to see the diagrams and to imagine now to see it, what this will look like and how it will transform, you know, our program. And there are a lot of people that are very excited. I expect there to be even more engagement and involvement now that those renderings are out. I think people can see exactly what it is they're getting behind. And anyone who's for Vanderbilt Athletics, anyone who's for Vanderbilt University understands what a moment we have right now. I mean, everyone in this community, it is a moment to exact and act change and to be a part of something that is going to be a legacy to the university, to the athletics department, to the football program, to everyone who's going to wear a Vanderbilt jersey of any kind. This is going to be transformational. And I think the moment for us is recognizing, the trend of change in college athletics, the trend of change in college football. And it's a chance for a statement to say, you know, we're going to be a major factor in this. And there's so much good about what we offer here at Vanderbilt. It's a top 15 education. It's stitched in the middle of Nashville, and we play in the only football conference that matters. Now we can be proud of having the best facilities in the country. And, when we bring recruits here and we show them this, they're gonna recognize immediately how important this program is to our university and to the community. And, that is going to be quite the statement. And so, obviously, hopefully I'm communicating this. I'm thrilled, excited, and I'm very proud. I'm proud of Vanderbilt. I mean, I'm just proud. This is a great moment for Vanderbilt. And I thank the chancellor. I thank Candace Lee. I thank everyone out there who's efforting this, who's allowing for this to happen. But beyond just being the football coach, I mean, this is desperately needed. And what a great moment to be a part of. I'm excited to obviously be in the role that I'm in, but just as an alum and a member of the community, I'm very excited for where we're headed.
Clark, thanks so much for the time. Appreciate it as always. I wish we could snap our fingers to have it all done, you know.
I know. Well, I joked with Candace on Saturday. They're gonna mess around and see us out there with jackhammers and shovels.
I have some ideas for promos.
But it's all good.
Coach, thank you so much for your time.
Thank y'all. Good to see you.
All right.
We'll step aside, come back in just a couple of seconds, wrap up the Commodore Hour. After this, across the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield. Welcome back. Final couple of seconds tonight on the Commodore Hour. We've talked with Barton Simmons. We've talked with head coach Clark Lee. If you missed any of our conversations, don't forget that you can check this one out as a podcast on the Anchor podcast that'll be posted tomorrow morning. Apple, Spotify, the Vanderbilt Athletics Facebook page. Just search for the Anchor podcast. Big week coming up, of course. Interesting games for men's basketball before we get out of here, and it starts on Wednesday against VCU. That should be a really competitive ball game and a fun one.
It should be. VCU is always a really good program. They've struggled a little bit out of the gates here. Their first two games of the season, they're 1-1. They lost last time out over the weekend, but traditionally that's been a terrific program. I think they're reloading a little bit over there in Richmond. It'll be VCU Wednesday. It'll be Winthrop on Saturday. It's a 3-game, 7-day stretch, and then the first road game of the season will be 1 week from Wednesday night up at Pittsburgh. So it's fun. I think the players are happy to be playing games and not practicing and grinding against one another every single day. I think that, and we were talking to Scottie Pippen Jr. about that last night, that, hey, you know, okay, you put in all this work, now it's time to play some games, and that's certainly the case right now.
I think that's always the feeling as you get to those final couple of days, that last week, whether it's football, basketball, or baseball, it's always the same thing. It's like, just anybody, put a different color in front of me, please, please, please. We need to quickly get to the keys to the game, brought to you by Gupton Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Springfield, serving Middle Tennessee for over 60 years. At least as far as football is concerned, I don't think I officially dubbed it the key to the game, but you heard Coach Lee talk about the formula is ball control, successful drives, and I don't think that's going to be anything different against Ole Miss on Saturday. They've got the offense. You got to keep them off the field.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely 100% correct. You got Matt Corral, one of the best quarterbacks in the country. He can throw, he can run. They got a lot of weapons. So, yeah, if you can keep them on the sidelines as much as possible, it gives you a chance against Ole Miss, which can certainly put some points on the board, as we've seen throughout the season this
year. They've got a really good running back by the name of Jerrion Early. So a lot of the conversation goes to Matt Corral, but he has got weapons to get the football to. They've lost a couple of guys throughout the course of the season because of notable injuries. Not sure that we'll see them against Vanderbilt coming up on Saturday, but I'm not sure it's hugely impactful. The way that Lane has run his scheme over the past couple of years, they can distribute the football, and they're going to be a challenge for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I wish I could be on the sidelines because, you know, people throw stuff at Ole Miss games, as I've heard. But wait a minute, those are road games. Never mind.
That's down the road. They throw things at Ole Miss.
Oh, yeah, there you go. There you go.
That's okay. For clarification.
It's going to be a lot of fun, though. I hate that I'm going to miss the Ole Miss trip, but looking forward to doing basketball on Saturday. It's a busy stretch here for all of us as we make our way through crossover season here.
I enjoyed the fact that Lane Kiffin on game day called Knoxville a dangerous place to play. All right, so thanks so much for listening tonight. Don't forget that you can download this as the Anchor podcast. It's a rebroadcast again tomorrow morning, and plus original episodes of the podcast typically post on Thursdays. Our game broadcast starts on Saturday at, 5 p.m. Central on the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield. It's Vanderbilt and Ole Miss. Looking forward to it. For Kevin Ingram and Gus Wittekamp back inside our studios, I'm Andrew Allegretta. Good night from Nashville.